and Bryce chucked the carrots and hummus in the garbage before padding for the couch. She flipped through the channels until she found the local news. Syrinx peered up at her expectantly. "Just you and me tonight, bud," she said, plopping down next to him. On the news, Rigelus, Bright Hand of the Asteri, appeared, giving some speech on new trade laws at a gilded podium. Behind him, the five other Asteri sat enthroned in their crystal chamber, cold-faced and radiating wealth and power. As always, the seventh throne sat empty in honor of their long-dead sister. Bryce changed the channel again, this time to another news station, blasting footage of lines of human-built mech suits going toe-to-toe with elite Imperial legions on a muddy battlefield. Another channel showed starving humans lined up for bread in the Eternal City, their children wailing with hunger. Bryce switched to a show about buying vacation houses unseen and watched without really processing it. When was the last time she'd read a book? Not for work or research, but for pleasure. She'd read loads before everything with Danica, but that part of her brain had just turned off afterward. She'd wanted to drown out any sort of calm and quiet. The blaring television had become her companion to drive the silence away. The dumber the show, the better. She nestled into the cushions, Syrinx curling up tightly against her leg as she scratched at his velvet soft ears. He wriggled in a request for more. The silence pushed in, tighter and thicker. Her mouth dried out, her limbs going light and hollow. The events at the den threatened to begin looping, Ethan's cold face at the forefront. She peered at the clock. Barely 5:30. Bryce blew out a long breath. Lahaba was wrong. This wasn't like that winter. Nothing could ever be as bad as that first winter without Danica. She wouldn't let it. She stood, Syrinx huffing with annoyance at being disturbed. "I'll be back soon," she promised, pointing toward the hall and his crate. Throwing her a baleful look, the Chimera saw himself into his cage, yanking the metal door shut with a hooked claw. Bryce locked it, reassuring him again that she wouldn't be out for long, and slipped back into her heels. She'd promised Hunt she would stay put, had sworn it on the gods. Too bad the angel didn't know that she no longer prayed to any of them. Hunt had drunk all of half a beer when his phone rang. He knew exactly what had happened before he picked up. "She left, didn't she?" Naomi let out a quiet laugh. "Yeah, all glammed up, too." "That's how she usually is," he grumbled, rubbing his temple. Down the carved oak bar, Vic arched a graceful eyebrow, her halo shifting with the movement. Hunt shook his head and reached for his wallet. He shouldn't have come out tonight. The offer had been thrown to him so many times these past 4 years, and he'd never gone, not when it had felt so much like being in the 18th again. But this time, when Isaiah had called with his standard caveat, "I know you'll say no, but..." he'd said yes. He didn't know why, but he'd gone. Hunt asked, "Where'd she head?" "I'm tracking her now," Naomi said, the wind rustling on her end of the line. She hadn't asked any questions when Hunt had called her an hour ago to ask that she guard Bryce and give up her spot in tonight's hangout. "Looks like she's headed toward Phyro." Maybe she was seeking out her cousin for an update.
"Stay close and keep your guard up," he said.
He knew he didn't need to say it. Naomi was one of the most talented warriors he'd ever encountered and took no shit from anyone. One look at her tightly braided black hair, the colorful tattoo that covered her hands, and the array of weapons on her muscled body, and most people didn't dare to tangle with her. Maybe even Bryce would have obeyed an order to stay put if Naomi had been the one to give it.
"Send me your coordinates."
"Will do." The line went dead. Hunt sighed. Victoria said,
"You should have known better, friend."
Hunt ran his hands through his hair.
"Yeah."
Beside him, Isaiah swigged from his beer. "You could let Naomi handle her."
I have a feeling that would result in them unleashing hell together, and I'd still need to go end their fun.
Vic and Isaiah chuckled, and Hunt dropped a silver mark on the bar. Victoria held up a hand in protest, but Hunt ignored it. They might all be slaves, but he could pay for his own damn drink.
I'll see you two later.
Isaiah raised his beer in salute, and Victoria gave him a knowing smile before Hunt elbowed his way through the packed bar. Justinian, playing pool in the back, lifted a hand in farewell. Hunt had never asked why all of them preferred the tight quarters of the street-level bar to one of the rooftop lounges most angels frequented. He supposed he wouldn't get the chance to learn why tonight. Hunt wasn't surprised that Bryce had bailed. Frankly, the only thing that surprised him was that she'd waited this long. He shouldered through the leaded glass door and out onto the muggy street beyond. Patrons drank at reclaimed oak barrels, and a raucous group of some sort of shifter pack, perhaps wolves or one of the big cats, puffed away on cigarettes. Hunt scowled at the reek that chased him into the sky, then frowned again at the clouds rolling in from the west, the heavy scent of rain already on the wind. Fantastic. Naomi sent over her coordinates in Five Roses, and a 5-minute flight had Hunt arriving at one of the night gardens, just beginning to awaken with the fading light. Naomi's black wings were a stain against the creeping darkness, as she hovered in place above a fountain filled with moon lilies, the bioluminescent flowers already open and glowing pale blue.
That way, Naomi said, the harsh planes of her face gilded by the soft light from the plants.
Hunt nodded to the angel.
Thanks. Good luck.
The words were enough to set him on edge, and Hunt didn't bother saying goodbye before soaring down the path. Star oaks lined it, their leaves glittering in a living canopy overhead. The gentle illumination danced on Bryce's hair as she ambled down the stone path, night-blooming flowers opening around her. Jasmine lay heavy in the twilight air, sweet and beckoning.
You couldn't give me an hour of peace.
Bryce didn't flinch as he dropped into step beside her.
I wanted some fresh air.
She admired an unfurling fern, its fronds lit from within to illuminate every vein.
Were you going somewhere in particular?
Just out.
Ah.
I'm waiting for you to start yelling.
She continued past beds of night crocuses, their purple petals shimmering amid the vibrant moss. The garden seemed to awaken for her, welcome her.
I'll yell when I find out what was so important that you broke your promise.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing is important.
She said the words with enough quiet that he watched her carefully.
You all right?
Yeah.
Definitely no, then, she admitted.
The quiet bothers me sometimes.
I invited you to the bar.
I didn't want to go to a bar with a bunch of triari.
Why not?
She cut him a sidelong glance.
I'm a civilian. They wouldn't be able to relax.
Hunt opened his mouth to deny it, but she gave him a look.
Fine. He admitted, maybe.
They walked in silence for a few steps. You could go back to your drinking, you know. That ominous-looking angel you sent to babysit me can handle it.
Naomi laughed.
She looks intense.
She is.
Bryce threw him a hint of a smile.
You two...
No.
Though Naomi had hinted about it on occasion.
It'd complicate things.
Hmm.
Were you on your way to meet your friends?
She shook her head.
Just the one friend these days, Athalar, and she's too busy.
So you were going out alone? To do what?
Walk through this garden?
Alone.
I knew you'd send a babysitter.
Hunt moved before he could think, gripping her elbow. She peered up into his face.
Is this the part where you start yelling?
Lightning cracked through the sky and echoed in his veins as he leaned closer and purred,
Would you like me to yell, Bryce Quinlan?
Her throat bobbed.
her eyes glowing with golden fire.
Maybe.
Hunt let out a low laugh, didn't try to stop the heat that flooded him. That can be arranged.
All of his focus narrowed on the dip of her eyes to his mouth, the blush that bloomed over her freckled cheeks, inviting him to taste every rosy inch. No one and nothing existed but this, but her.
He never heard the night-dark bushes behind him rustling, never heard the branches cracking. Not until the Crystallos crashed into him and sank its teeth into his shoulder.
Chapter 46. The Crystallos slammed into Hunt with the force of an SUV. Bryce knew he only had enough time to either draw a weapon or shove her out of the way. Hunt chose her. She hit the asphalt several feet from him, bones barking, and froze. Angel and Demon went down, the Crystallos pinning Hunt with a roar that sent the night garden shuddering. It was worse, so much worse than that night. Blood sprayed, and a knife glinted as Hunt pulled it from his sheath and plunged it into the grayish, near-translucent hide. Veins of lightning wreathed Hunt's hands and faded into blackness. People screamed and bolted down the path, cries to run, ringing through the glowing flora. Bryce barely heard them as she climbed to her knees. Hunt rolled, flipping the creature off him and onto the pathway, wrenching his knife free in the process. Clear blood dripped down the blade as Hunt angled it in front of himself, his shredded arm outflung to protect Bryce. Lightning flared and sputtered at his fingertips.
Call for backup,
he panted, without taking his focus off the demon, who paced a step, a clawed hand, crystalline talons glinting, going to the wound in its side. She'd never seen anything like it, anything so unearthly, so primal and raging. Her memory of that night was fogged with rage and grief and drugs. So this, the real undiluted thing? Bryce reached for her phone, but the creature lunged for Hunt. The angel's blade drove home. It made no difference. They again toppled to the path, and Hunt bellowed as the demon's jaws wrapped around his forearm and crunched. His lightning died out entirely.
Move. Move. She had to move.
Hunt's free fist slammed into the creature's face hard enough to crack bone, but the crystal teeth remained clamped. This thing pinned him down so easily. Had it done just this to Danica? Shredding and shredding. Hunt grunted, brow bunched in pain and concentration. His lightning had vanished. Not one flicker of it rose again. Every part of her shook. Hunt punched the demon's face again.
Bryce!
She scrambled into movement, not for her phone, but for the gun holstered at Hunt's hip. The blind demon sensed her, its nostrils flaring as her fingers wrapped around the handgun. She freed the safety, hauling it up as she uncoiled to her feet. The creature released Hunt's arm and leapt for her. Bryce fired, but too slow. The demon lunged to the side, dodging her bullet. Bryce fell back as it roared and leapt for her again. Its head snapped to the side, clear blood spraying like rain as a knife embedded itself to the hilt just above its mouth. Hunt was upon it again, drawing another long knife from a hidden panel down the back of his battle suit and plunging the blade right into the skull and toward the spine. The creature struggled, snapping for Bryce, its clear teeth stained red with Hunt's blood. She wound up on the pavement somehow and crawled backward as it tried to lunge for her. Failed to, as Hunt wrapped his hands around the blade and twisted. The crack of its severing neck was muffled by the moss-shrouded trees. Bryce still aimed for the handgun.
Get out of the way!
Hunt released his grip, letting the creature slump to the mossy path. Its black tongue lolled from its clear-fanged mouth.
Just in case,
Bryce said, and fired. She didn't miss this time. Sirens wailed, and wings filled the air, ringing drowned in her head. Hunt withdrew his blade from the creature's skull and brought it down with a mighty one-armed sweep. The severed head tumbled away. Hunt moved again, and the head split in half, then quarters. Another plunge, and the hateful heart was skewered too. Clear blood leaked everywhere, like a spilled vial of serum. Bryce stared and stared at its ruined head. The horrible, monstrous body,
Powerful forms landed among them, that black-winged Malak instantly at Hunt's side.
Holy shit, Hunt. What?
Bryce barely heard the words. Someone helped her to her feet. Blue light flared, and a magiscreen encompassed the sight, blocking it from the view of any who hadn't yet fled. She should have been screaming, should have been leaping for the demon, ripping apart its corpse with her bare hands. But only a thrumming silence filled her head. She looked around the park, stupidly and slowly, as if she might see Sabine there. Hunt groaned, and she whirled as he tumbled face first to the ground. The dark-winged angel caught him, her powerful body easily bearing his weight.
Get a medwitch here, now!
His shoulder was gushing blood. So was his forearm. Blood and some sort of silvery slime. She knew the burn of that slime, like living fire. A head of sleek black curls streamed past, and Bryce blinked as a curvy young woman in a medwitch's blue jumpsuit unhooked the bag across her chest and slid to her knees beside Hunt. He was bent over, a hand at his forearm, panting heavily. His gray wings sagged, splattered with both clear and red blood. The medwitch asked him something, the broom and bell insignia on her right arm catching the blue light of the screens. Her brown hands didn't falter, as she used a pair of tweezers to extract what looked to be a small worm from a glass jar full of damp moss and set it on Hunt's forearm. He winced, teeth flashing.
Sucking out the venom, a female voice explained beside Bryce.
The dark-winged angel, Naomi. She pointed a tattooed finger toward Hunt.
They're Mithridate leeches.
The leech's black body swiftly swelled. The witch set another on Hunt's shoulder wound, then another on his forearm. Bryce said nothing. Hunt's face was pale, his eyes shut as he seemed to focus on his breathing.
I think the venom nullified my power. As soon as it bit me,
he hissed at whatever agony worked through his body.
I couldn't summon my lightning.
Recognition jolted through her. It explained so much. Why the Crystallos had been able to pin Micah, for one thing. If it had ambushed the Archangel and gotten a good bite, he would have been left with only physical strength. Micah had probably never even realized what happened, had likely written it off as shock or the swiftness of the attack. Perhaps the bite had nullified the preternatural strength of Danica and the pack of devils, too.
Hey. Naomi put a hand on Bryce's shoulder. You hurt?
The medwitch peeled a poison-eating leech from Hunt's shoulder, threw it back in the glass jar, then replaced it with another. Pale light wreathed her hands as she assessed Hunt's other injuries, then began the process of healing them. She didn't bother with the vials of first light glowing in her bag, a cure-all for many medics, as if she preferred using the magic in her own veins.
I'm fine.
Hunt's body might have been able to heal itself, but it would have taken longer. With the venom in those wounds, Bryce knew too well that it might not really heal at all. Naomi ran a hand over her inky hair.
You should let that medwitch examine you.
No.
Her onyx eyes sharpened.
If Hunt can let the medwitch work on him, then you.
Vast cold power erupted through the site, the garden, the whole quarter of the city. Naomi whirled as Micah landed. Silence fell. Veneer of all types backing away as the Archangel prowled toward the fallen demon and Hunt. Naomi was the only one with enough balls to approach him.
I was on watch right before Hunt arrived, and there was no sign.
Micah stalked past her, his eyes pinned on the demon. The medwitch, to her credit, didn't halt her ministrations, but Hunt managed to lift his head to meet Micah's interrogation.
What happened?
Ambush,
Hunt said, his voice gravelly. Micah's white wings seemed to glow with power. And for all the ringing silence in Bryce's head, all the distance she now felt between her body and what remained of her soul, she stepped up. Like hell this would jeopardize Micah's bargain with Hunt, Bryce said.
It came out of the shadows.
The Archangel raked his eyes over her.
Which one of you did it attack?
Bryce pointed to Hunt,
Him. And which one of you killed it?
Bryce began to repeat him, but Hunt cut in. It was a joint effort.
Bryce shot him a look to keep quiet, but Micah had already pivoted to the demon's corpse. He towed it with his boot, frowning.
We can't let the press get wind of this,
Micah ordered.
Or the others coming in for the summit.
The unspoken part of that statement lingered. Sandriel doesn't hear a word.
We'll keep it out of the papers, Naomi promised.
But Micah shook his head and extended a hand. Before Bryce could so much as blink, white flame erupted around the demon and its head. Within a second, it was nothing more than ash.
Hunt started. We needed to examine it for evidence. No press,
Micah said, then turned toward a cluster of angel commanders. The Medwitch began removing her leeches and bandaging Hunt. Each of the silk strips was imbued with her power, willing the skin and muscle to knit back together and staving off infection. They'd dissolve once the wounds had healed, as if they'd never existed. The pile of ashes still lay there, mockingly soft considering the true terror the Crystallos had wrought. Had this demon been the one to kill Danica, or merely one of thousands waiting on the other side of the Northern Rift? Was the horn here, in this park? Had she somehow unwittingly come near it? Or maybe whoever was looking for it, Sabine, simply sent the Crystallos as another message. They were nowhere near Moonwood, but Sabine's patrols took her all over the city. The sting of the gun still bit into Bryce's palms, its kickback zinging along her bones. The Medwitch removed her bloody gloves. A crackle of lightning at Hunt's knuckles showed his returning power.
Thanks, he said to the witch, who waved him off.
Within a few seconds, she'd packed the poison-swollen leeches in their jars and swept behind the magiscreens. Hunt's stare met Bryce's. The ashes and busy officials and warriors around them faded away into white noise. Naomi approached, braids swaying behind her.
Why'd it target you?
Everyone wants to take a bite out of me,
Hunt deflected. Naomi gave them both a look that told Bryce she didn't buy it for 1 second, but moved off to talk to a fey female in the ox. Hunt tried to ease to his feet, and Bryce stepped in to offer a hand up. He shook his head, grimacing as he braced a hand on his knee and rose.
I guess we hit a nerve with Sabine, he said. She must have figured out we're on to her. This was either a warning like the club bombing, or a failed attempt to take care of a problem like she did with the Acolyte and Guard.
She didn't answer. A wind drifted by, stirring the ashes.
Bryce?
Hunt stepped closer, his dark eyes clear despite his injury.
It doesn't make any sense, she whispered at last. You... We killed it so quickly.
Hunt didn't reply, giving her the space to think through it, to say it. She said,
Danica was strong. Connor was strong. Either one of them could have taken on that demon and walked away. But the entire pack of devils was there that night. Even if its venom nullified some of their powers, the entire pack could have...
Her throat tightened.
Even my...
Hunt caught himself, glancing toward the Archangel still talking to the commanders off to the side.
He didn't walk away from it.
But I did. Twice now.
Maybe it's got some fey weakness.
She shook her head.
I don't think so. It just... It's not adding up.
We'll lay it all out tomorrow.
Hunt nodded toward Micah.
I think tonight just proved it's time to tell him our suspicions about Sabine.
She was going to be sick, but she nodded back. They waited until most of Micah's commanders had peeled off on their various assignments before approaching, Hunt wincing with each step.
Hunt grunted, We need to talk to you.
Micah only crossed his arms, and then Hunt, briskly and efficiently, told him about the horn, about Sabine, about their suspicions, About the horn possibly being repaired, though they still didn't know why she'd want or need to open a portal to another world. Micah's eyes went from annoyed to enraged to outright glacial. When Hunt was done, the governor looked between them.
You need more evidence.
We'll get it, Hunt promised.
Micah surveyed them, his face dark as the pit.
Come to me when you have concrete proof, or if you find that horn. If someone's gone to so much trouble over it, there's a damn good chance they've found a way to repair it. I won't have this city endangered by a power-hungry bitch.
Bryce could have sworn the thorns tattooed across Hunt's brow darkened as his eyes met the Archangel's.
Don't fuck this up for me, Athalar.
Without a further word, he flapped his wings and shot into the night sky.
Hunt blew out a breath, staring at the pile of ashes.
Prick.
Bryce rubbed her hands over her arms. Hunt's eyes darted toward her, noting the movement, the cold creeping over her that had nothing to do with the spring night, or the storm that was moments from unleashing itself.
Come on,
he said gently, rotating his injured arm to test its strength.
I think I can manage flying us back to your place.
She surveyed the busy crew, the tracker shifters already moving off into the trees to hunt for prints before the rain wiped them away.
Don't we need to answer questions?
He extended a hand.
They know where to find us.
Rune got to the night garden moments after his sister and Athalar left, according to Naomi Boreas, captain of the 33rd's infantry. The take-no-shit angel had merely said both of them were fine and pivoted to receive an update from a unit captain under her command. All that was left of the Crystallos was a burnt stain and a few sprayed drops of clear blood, like beaded rainwater on the stones and moss. Rune approached a carved boulder just off the path. Squatting, he freed the knife in his boot and angled the blade toward a splash of the unusual blood clinging to some ancient moss.
I wouldn't do that.
He knew that fair voice, its steady, calm cadence. He peered over his shoulder to find the medwitch from the clinic standing behind him, her curly dark hair loose around her striking face. But her eyes were upon the blood.
Its venom lies in its saliva, she said. But we don't know what other horrors might be in the blood itself.
It hasn't affected the moss, he said.
Yes, but this was a demon bred for specific purposes. Its blood might be harmless to non-sentient life, but be dangerous to everything else.
Rune started.
You recognized the demon?
The witch blinked, as if she'd been caught.
I had very old tutors, as I told you. They required me to study ancient texts.
Rune rose to his feet.
We could have used you years ago.
I had not completed my training then.
A non-answer. Rune's brow furrowed. The witch took a step back.
I was thinking, Prince, she said, continuing her retreat, about what you asked me. I looked into it, and there is some potential research. I have to leave the city for a few days to attend to a personal matter, but when I return and fully review it, I will send it to you.
Rune!
Flynn's shout cut through the chaos of the investigatory team around them. Rune glanced over his shoulder to tell his friend to wait for 2 goddamned seconds, but motion from the witch caught his eye. He hadn't seen the broom she'd stashed beside the tree, but he certainly saw it now as she shot into the night sky, her hair a dark curtain behind her.
Who was that?
Flynn asked, nodding toward the vanishing witch.
I don't know,
Rune said quietly, staring after her into the night. Chapter 47. The storm hit when they were 2 blocks from Bryce's building, soaking them within seconds. Pain lanced through Hunt's forearm and shoulder as he landed on the roof, but he swallowed it down. Bryce was still shaking, her face distant enough that he didn't immediately let go when he set her upon the rain-soaked tiles. She peered up at him when his arms remained around her waist. Hunt couldn't help the thumb he swept over her ribs, couldn't stop himself from doing it a second time. She swallowed, and he tracked every movement of her throat. The raindrop that ran over her neck, her pulse pounding delicately beneath it. Before he could react, she leaned forward, wrapping her arms around him, held him tightly.
"Tonight sucked," she said against his soaked chest.
Hunt slid his arms around her, willing his warmth into her trembling body.
"It did."
"I'm glad you're not dead,"
Hunt chuckled, letting himself bury his face against her neck.
"So am I."
Bryce's fingers curled against his spine, exploring and gentle. Every single one of his senses narrowed to that touch, came roaring awake.
"We should get out of the rain," she murmured.
"We should,"
he replied, and made no move.
"Hunt."
He couldn't tell if his name was a warning or a request or something more. Didn't care as he grazed his nose against the rain-slick column of her neck. Fuck, she smelled good. He did it again, unable to help himself or get enough of that scent. She tipped her chin up slightly, just enough to expose more of her neck to him. Hell yes, Hunt almost groaned the words as he let himself nuzzle into that soft, delicious neck, as greedy as a fucking vampire to be there, smell her, taste her. It overrode every instinct, every pained memory, every vow he'd sworn. Bryce's fingers tightened on his back, then began stroking. He nearly purred. He didn't let himself think, not as he brushed his lips over the spot he'd nuzzled. She arched slightly against him, into the hardness that ached behind the reinforced leather of his battle suit. Swallowing another groan against her neck, Hunt tightened his arms around her warm, soft body and ran his hands downward toward that perfect, sweet ass that had tortured him since day fucking one, and the metal door to the roof opened. Hunt already had his gun drawn and aimed toward it as Sabine stepped out and snarled, "Back the fuck up." Chapter 48. Hunt weighed his options carefully. He had a gun pointed at Sabine's head. She had a gun pointed at Bryce's heart. Which of them was faster? The question buzzed in his skull. Bryce obeyed Sabine's command, her hands raised. Hunt could only follow, stepping behind Bryce so she was up against his chest, so he could snake his free hand around her waist, pinning her against him. Could he get into the air fast enough to avoid a bullet? Bryce wouldn't survive a close-range shot to the heart. She'd be dead in seconds. Bryce managed to ask over the drumming rain, "Where's your little demon friend?" Sabine kicked the door to the roof shut. The cameras had all been disabled, he realized. They had to be, or the Legion would already be here, having been tipped off by Marin. The feeds had to be looping on harmless footage, just as she'd done at Luna's temple, which meant no one, absolutely no one, knew what was happening. Hunt slowly began to bring his good arm up Bryce's shaking, soaked body. Sabine spat. "Don't fucking think about it, Athalar." He stopped his arm before it could cover Bryce's breasts, the heart beating beneath them. His battle suit had enough armor to deflect a bullet, to let him absorb the impact. Better for him to lose an arm that he could regrow than for her to... He couldn't think the last word. Sabine hissed, "I told you to stay away from this, and yet you just couldn't listen. You had to show up at the den asking questions you have no right to ask." Bryce snarled, "We were asking those questions because you killed Danica, you fucking psycho." Sabine went wholly still, nearly as still as the Fae could go.
"You think I did."
"What?" Hunt knew Sabine wore every emotion on her face, and had never once bothered to hide it. Her shock was genuine. Rain dripped off the narrow angles of her face as she seethed.
You think I killed my own daughter?
Bryce was shaking so hard that Hunt had to tighten his grip, and she snapped.
You killed her because she was going to take your place as future prime. You stole the horn to undermine her, and you've been using that demon to kill anyone who might have seen you, and to humiliate Micah before the summit.
Sabine laughed, low and hollow.
What utter bullshit.
Hunt growled. You wiped the footage of the horn's theft from the temple. We have it confirmed. You lied to us about Danica being there that night, and ranted about your daughter not keeping her mouth shut the night she died. All we need to prove you killed Danica is to tie you to the Crystallos demon. Sabine lowered her gun, putting the safety back on. She trembled with barely restrained rage.
I didn't steal anything, you stupid fucks. And I didn't kill my daughter.
Hunt didn't dare lower his gun. Didn't dare let go of Bryce. Not as Sabine said, cold and joyless.
I was protecting her.
Danica stole the horn. Chapter 49.
Danica didn't steal anything,
Bryce whispered, cold lurching through her. Only Hunt's arm around her middle kept her upright, his body a warm wall at her back. Sabine's light brown eyes, the same shade Danica's had been but void of their warmth, were merciless.
Why do you think I swapped the footage? She thought the blackout would hide her, but was too dumb to consider that there might be audio still rolling that picked up each one of her disappearing footsteps as she left her post to steal the horn, then reappeared a minute later, going back on patrol, as if she hadn't spat in our goddess's face. Whether she caused the blackout to steal it, or if she took advantage of an opportunity, I don't know.
Why would she take it?
Bryce could barely get the words out.
Because Danica was a brat who wanted to see what she could get away with. As soon as I got the alert that the horn had been stolen, I looked into the videos and swapped the footage on every database.
Sabine's smile was a cruel slash.
I cleaned up her mess, just like I did for her entire life. And you two, in asking your questions, have threatened the shred of a legacy that she stands to leave.
Hunt's wings flared slightly.
You sent that demon after us tonight.
Sabine's pale brows snapped together.
What demon? I've been waiting for you here all night. I thought about your stupid fucking visit to my den and decided you needed a real reminder to stay the hell out of this case.
She bared her teeth.
Amelie Ravenscroft is standing across the street, waiting to make the call if you step out of line, Athalar. She says you two were putting on quite the show a moment ago.
A vicious, knowing smile. Bryce flushed and let Hunt look to confirm. From the way he tensed, she knew it was true. Sabine said,
And as for what I said the night she died, Danica couldn't keep her mouth shut about anything. I knew she'd stolen the horn, and knew someone probably killed her for it because she couldn't keep it quiet.
Another cold laugh.
Everything I did was to protect my daughter, my reckless, arrogant daughter. Everything you did encouraged the worst in her.
Hunt's growl rent the night.
Careful, Sabine.
But the Alpha just snorted.
You'll regret crossing me.
She strolled for the edge of the roof, her power thrumming in a faint glow around her, as she assessed the same leap that Bryce had so stupidly considered a year and a half ago. Only Sabine would be able to gracefully land on the pavement. Sabine looked back over a thin shoulder, her lengthening teeth gleaming as she said,
I didn't kill my daughter. But if you jeopardize her legacy, I will kill you.
And then she jumped, shifting with a soft flash of light as she went. Hunt sprinted for the edge, but Bryce knew what he'd see. A wolf landing lightly on the pavement and streaking away into the darkness. Chapter 50. Hunt didn't realize just how badly Sabine's bombshell had hit Bryce until the next morning. She didn't run, nearly didn't get up in time for work. She drank a cup of coffee but refused the eggs he'd made, barely said three words to him. He knew she wasn't mad at him, knew that she was just processing. Whether that processing also had to do with what they'd done on the roof, he didn't dare ask. It wasn't the time. Even though he'd had to take a cold, cold shower afterward and take matters into his own hands. It was to Bryce's face, the memory of her scent and that breathy moan she'd made as she arched against him, that he'd come, hard enough he'd seen stars. But it was the least of his concerns, this thing between them, whatever it was. Mercifully, nothing had leaked to the press about the attack in the park. Bryce barely spoke after work. He'd made her dinner and she'd poked at it, then gone to sleep before 9. There sure as fuck were no more hugs that led to nuzzling. The next day was the same, and the next. He was willing to give her space. The gods knew he'd sometimes needed it. Every time he killed for Micah, he needed it. He knew better than to suggest Sabine could be lying, since there was no easier person to accuse than a dead one. Sabine was a monster, but Hunt had never known her to be a liar. The investigation was full of dead ends, and Danica had died. For what? For an ancient artifact that didn't work, that hadn't worked in 15,000 years and never would again. Had Danica herself wanted to repair and use the horn? Though why, he had no idea. He knew those thoughts weighed on Bryce. For 5 fucking days, she barely ate. Just went to work, slept, and went to work again. Every morning, he made her breakfast. Every morning, she ignored the plate he laid out. Micah called only once to ask if they'd gotten proof on Sabine. Hunt had merely said, it was a dead end. And the governor had hung up. His rage at the unsolved case palpable. That had been 2 days ago. Hunt was still waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I thought hunting for ancient deadly weapons would be exciting.
Lahaba groused from where she sat on her little divan, half watching truly inane daytime television.
Me too, Bryce muttered.
Hunt looked up from the evidence report he'd been skimming and was about to answer, when the front doorbell rang. Rune's face appeared on the camera feed, and Bryce let out a long, long sigh before silently buzzing him in. Hunt rotated his stiff shoulder. His arm still throbbed a bit, an echo of the lethal venom that had ripped his magic right from his body. The prince's black boots appeared on the green carpeted steps seconds later, apparently taking a hint about their location thanks to the open library door. Lahaba was instantly zooming across the space, sparks in her wake, as she beamed and said,
Your Highness.
Rune offered her a half-smile, his eyes going right to Quinlan. They missed none of the quiet, brooding exhaustion, or the tone in Bryce's voice as she said,
To what do we owe this pleasure?
Rune slid into a seat across from them at the book-strewn table. The star sword sheathed down his back didn't reflect the lights in the library.
I wanted to check in. Anything new?
Neither of them had told him about Sabine, and apparently Declan hadn't either.
No, Bryce said. Anything about the horn?
Rune ignored her question.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Her spine stiffened. Rune looked ready to get into it with his cousin, so Hunt did both of them and himself, if he was being honest, a favor and said,
We've been waiting on a Many Waters contact to get back to us about a possible pattern with the demon attacks. Have you come across any information about the Crystallos negating magic?
Days later, he couldn't stop thinking about it, how it had felt for his power to just sputter and die in his veins.
No. I still haven't found anything about the creation of the Crystallos, except that it was made from the blood of the first Starborn Prince, and the essence of the Star Eater himself. Nothing about it negating magic.
Rune nodded at him,
You've never come across a demon that can do that?
Not one. Witch spells and Gorsian stones negate magic, but this was different.
He dealt with both. Before they'd bound him using the witch ink on his brow, they'd shackled him with manacles hewn from the Gorsian stones of the Dolos Mountains, a rare metal whose properties numbed one's access to magic. They were used on high-profile enemies of the Empire. The Hind herself was particularly fond of using them, as she and her interrogators broke the veneer among the rebel spies and leaders. But for years now, rumors had swirled in the 33rd's barracks that rebels were experimenting with ways to render the metal into a spray that could be unleashed upon Vanir warriors on the battlefields. Rune motioned to the ancient book he'd left on the table days ago, still open to a passage about the Starborn Fae.
If the Star Eater himself put his essence in the Crystallos,
that's probably what gave the demon the ability to eat magic, just as Prince Pelias's blood gave it the ability to look for the horn.
Bryce frowned. So that chosen one sense of yours hasn't detected a trace of the horn?
Rune tugged at the silver ring through his bottom lip. No. But I got a message this morning from a medwitch I met the other day, the one who stitched up Hunt in the night garden. It's a shot in the dark, but she mentioned that there's a relatively new drug on the market that's just starting to come into use. It's a synthetic healing magic.
Hunt and Bryce straightened.
It can have some wicked side effects if not carefully controlled. She didn't have access to its exact formula or the trials, but she said research showed it capable of healing at rates nearly double that of First Light.
Bryce said, "You think something like that could repair the horn?"
It's a possibility. It'd fit with that stupid riddle about light that's not light, magic that's not magic repairing the horn. That's kind of what a synthetic compound like that is.
Her eyes flickered. And it's readily available?
It entered the market at some point in the past few years, apparently. No one has tested it on inanimate objects, but who knows? If real magic couldn't heal it, maybe a synthetic compound could.
I've never heard of synthetic magic,
Hunt said.
Neither have I, Rune admitted.
So, we have a potential way to repair the horn, Bryce mused, but not the horn itself, she sighed. And we still don't know if Danica stole the horn on a lark or for some actual purpose.
Rune started. Danica did what?
Bryce winced, then filled the prince in on all they'd learned. When she finished, Rune leaned back in his chair, shock written on every line of his face. Hunt said into the silence,
regardless of whether Danica stole the horn for fun or to do something with it, the fact remains that she stole it.
Rune asked carefully,
do you think she wanted it for herself? To repair it and use it?
No, Bryce said quietly. No. Danica might have kept things from me, but I knew her heart. She never would have sought a weapon as dangerous as the horn, something that could jeopardize the world like that.
She ran her hands over her face.
Her killer is still out there. Danica must have taken the horn to keep them from getting it. They killed her for it, but they must not have found it, if they're still using the Crystallos to search for it.
She waved a hand at Rune's sword.
That thing can't help you find it. I still think luring the killer with the horn is probably the most surefire way to find them.
Rune shook his head. The sword doesn't work like that. Aside from being picky about who draws it, the sword has no power without the knife.
The knife?
Hunt asked. Rune drew the sword, the metal whining, and laid it on the table between them. Bryce leaned back, away from it, as a bead of starlight sang down the fuller and sparkled at the tip.
Fancy,
Hunt said, earning a glare from Rune, who had raised a brow at Bryce, no doubt expecting some kind of reverence from her at a sword that was older than this city, older than the Vanir's first step in Midgard.
The sword was part of a pair,
Rune said to him,
A long-bladed knife was forged from the iridium mined from the same meteorite which fell on our old world. The world the Fae had left to travel through the Northern Rift and into Midgard. But we lost the knife eons ago. Even the Fae archives have no record of how it might have been lost. But it seems to have been sometime during the First Wars.
It's another of the Fae's countless inane prophecies, Bryce muttered. When knife and sword are reunited, so shall our people be.
It's literally carved above the Fae Archive's entrance, whatever the fuck it means, Rune said.
Bryce gave a small smile at that.
Hunt grinned. Her little smile was like seeing the sun after days of rain.
Bryce pretended not to notice his grin, but Rune gave him a sharp look.
Like he knew every filthy thing Hunt had thought about Bryce. Everything he'd done to pleasure himself while imagining it was her mouth around him, her hands, her soft body. Shit. He was in such deep, unrelenting shit. Rune only snorted, as if he knew that too, and sheathed the sword again.
I'd like to see the Fae Archives,
Lahaba sighed.
Think of all that ancient history, all those glorious objects.
Kept locked away only for their pure-blooded heirs to see. Bryce finished with a pointed glance at Rune. Rune held up his hands. I've tried to get them to change the rules, he said. No luck.
They let in visitors on the major holidays, Lahaba said.
Only from an approved list, Bryce said. And fire sprites are not on it.
Lahaba rolled over onto her side, propping her head up with a fiery hand.
They would let me in. I am a descendant of Queen Ranthea Drawl.
Yeah, and I'm the seventh Asteri, Bryce said dryly.
Hunt was careful not to react at the tone, the first bit of spark he'd seen in days.
I am,
Lahaba insisted, turning to Rune.
She was my 6 times great-grandmother, dethroned in the Elemental Wars. Our family was cast from favor.
The story changes every time, Bryce told Hunt, whose lips twitched.
It does not,
Lahaba whined.
Rune was smiling now, too.
We stood a chance at earning back our title, but my great-great-grandmother was booted from the Eternal City for—
Booted?
Yes, booted. For a completely false accusation of trying to steal the royal consort from the imposter queen. She'd be thrashing in her ashes if she knew what had become of her last scion. Little more than a bird in a cage.
Bryce sipped from her water. This is the point, boys, where she solicits you for cash to purchase her freedom. Lahaba turned crimson.
That is not true!
She pointed her finger at Bryce.
My great-grandmother fought with Hunt against the angels, and that was the end of my entire people's freedom.
The words cracked through Hunt. All of them looked at him now.
I'm sorry.
He had no other words in his head.
Oh, Athy,
Lahaba said, zooming over to him and turning rose pink.
I didn't mean to.
She cupped her cheeks in her hands.
I do not blame you.
I led everyone into battle. I don't see how there's anyone else to blame for what happened to your people because of it.
His words sounded as hollow as they felt.
But Shahar led you,
Dannon said, his blue eyes missing nothing.
Hunt bristled at the sound of her name on the prince's lips. But he found himself looking to Quinlan, to torture himself with the damning agreement he'd find on her face.
Only sorrow lay there, and something like understanding.
Like she saw him, as he'd seen her in that shooting gallery, marked every broken shard and didn't mind the jagged bits. Under the table, the toe of her high heel brushed against his boot. A little confirmation that yes, she saw his guilt, the pain, and she wouldn't shy from it. His chest tightened.
Lahaba cleared her throat and asked Rune,
Have you ever visited the Fae Archives on Avalon? I heard they're grander than what was brought over here.
She twirled her curl of flame around a finger.
No, Rune said, but the Fae on that misty island are even less welcoming than the ones here.
They do like to hoard all their wealth, don't they?
Mahaba said, eyeing Bryce.
Just like you, Bibi. Only spending on yourself and never anything nice for me.
Bryce removed her foot.
Do I not buy you strawberry shisha every other week?
Mahaba crossed her arms.
That's barely a gift.
Says the sprite who hotboxes herself in that little glass dome and burns it all night and tells me not to bother her until she's done. She leaned back in her chair, smug as a cat, and Hunt nearly grinned again at the spark in her eyes. Bryce grabbed his phone from the table and snapped a photo of him before he could object, then one of Lahaba, and another of Syrinx. If Rune noticed she didn't bother with a photo of him, he said nothing, though Hunt could have sworn the shadows in the room deepened.
All I want, Bibi, Lahaba said, is a little appreciation.
God spare me, Bryce muttered.
Even Rune smiled at that. The prince's phone rang, and he picked it up before Hunt could see who it was.
Flynn?
Hunt heard Flynn's voice faintly.
You're needed at the barracks. Some bullshit fight broke out about somebody's girlfriend sleeping with someone else, and I honestly don't give two fucks about it, but they bloodied each other up pretty damn good.
Rune sighed.
I'll be there in 15, he said, and hung up.
Hunt asked,
You really have to moderate petty fights like that?
Rune ran a hand down the hilt of the star sword.
Why not? You're a prince.
I don't understand why you make that sound like an insult, Rune growled. Hunt said,
Why not do bigger shit?
Bryce answered for him.
Because his daddy is scared of him.
Rune shot her a warning look. He outranks me power-wise and title-wise.
And yet he made sure to get you under his thumb as early as possible, as if you were some sort of animal to be tamed.
She said the words mildly, but Rune tensed.
It was going well, Rune said tightly, until you came along.
Hunt braced himself for the brewing storm. Bryce said,
He was alive the last time a starborn prince appeared, you know. You ever ask what happened to him? Why he died before he made the drop?
Rune paled.
Don't be stupid. That was an accident during his ordeal.
Hunt kept his face neutral, but Bryce just leaned back in her chair.
If you say so.
You still believe this shit you tried to sell me as a kid?
She crossed her arms.
I wanted your eyes open to what he really is, before it was too late for you, too.
Rune blinked, but straightened, shaking his head as he rose from the table.
Trust me, Bryce. I've known for a while what he is. I had to fucking live with him.
Rune nodded toward the messy table.
If I hear anything new about the horn or this synthetic healing magic, I'll let you know.
He met Hunt's stare and added,
Be careful.
Hunt gave him a half smile that told the prince he knew exactly what that be careful was about, and didn't give a shit.
2 minutes after Rune left, the front door buzzed again.
What does he fucking want now?
Bryce muttered, grabbing the tablet Lahaba had been using to watch her trash TV and pulling up the video feed for the front cameras.
A squeal escaped her. An otter in a reflective yellow vest stood on its hind legs, a little paw on the lower buzzer she'd had Jessica install for shorter patrons, out of the hope that one day, somehow, she'd find a fuzzy, whiskery messenger standing on the doorstep. Bryce bolted from her chair a second later, her heels eating up the carpet as she ran upstairs. The message the otter bore from Therian was short and sweet.
I think you'll find this of interest.
Kisses, Therian.
Kisses?
Hunt asked.
They're for you, obviously,
Bryce said, still smiling about the otter. She'd handed him a silver mark, for which she'd earned a twitch of the whiskers and a little fanged grin. Easily the highlight of her day. Week, year, Honestly, her entire life. At the desk in the showroom, Bryce removed Therian's letter from the top of the pile, while Hunt began to leaf through some of the pages beneath. The blood rushed from her face at a photograph in Hunt's hand.
Is that a body?
Hunt grunted.
It's what's left of one, after Therian pried it from a Sobex lair.
Bryce couldn't stop the shudder down her spine. Clocking in at more than 25 feet and nearly 3,000 pounds of scale-covered muscle, Sobex were among the worst of the apex predators who prowled the river. Mean, strong, and with teeth that could snap you in two, a full-grown male Sobek could make most Vanir back away.
He's insane,
Hunt chuckled.
Oh, he most certainly is.
Bryce frowned at the gruesome photo, then read through Therian's notes.
He says the bite marks on the torso aren't consistent with Sobek teeth.
This person was already dead when they were dumped into the Istros. The Sobek must have seen an easy meal and hauled it down to its lair to eat later. She swallowed the dryness in her mouth and again looked at the body. A dryad female. Her chest cavity had been ripped open, heart and internal organs removed, and bite marks peppered.
These wounds look like the ones you got from the Crystallos. And the mayor's lab figured this body was probably 5 days old, judging by the level of decay.
The night we were attacked.
Bryce studied the analysis.
There was clear venom in the wounds. Therian says he could feel it inside the corpse even before the mayor did tests on it.
Most of those in the House of Many Waters could sense what flowed in someone's body. Illnesses and weaknesses and apparently venom.
But when they tested it,
she blew out a breath.
It negated magic.
It had to be the Crystallos. Bryce cringed, reading on.
He looked into records of all unidentified bodies the mayor found in the past couple years. They found two with identical wounds and this clear venom right around the time of...
She swallowed.
Around when Danica and the pack died. A dryad and a fox shifter male, both reported missing. This month, they've found five with these marks and the venom, all reported missing but a few weeks after the fact.
So, they're people who might not have had many close friends or family,
Hunt said.
Maybe.
Bryce again studied the photograph, made herself look at the wounds.
Silence fell,
interrupted only by the distant sounds of Lahaba's show downstairs. She said quietly,
That's not the creature that killed Danica.
Hunt ran a hand through his hair.
There might have been multiple Crystallos.
No,
she insisted, setting down the papers.
The Crystallos isn't what killed Danica.
Hunt's brow furrowed.
You were on the scene, though. You saw it.
I saw it in the hall, not in the apartment. Danica, the pack, and the other three recent victims were in piles.
She could barely stand to say it, to think about it again. These past 5 days had been not easy. Putting one foot in front of the other had been the only thing to get her through it after the disaster with Sabine, after the bomb she'd dropped about Danica. And if they'd been looking for the wrong fucking thing all this time? Bryce held up the photo.
These wounds aren't the same. The Crystallos wanted to get at your heart, your organs, not turn you into a heap. Danica, the pack of devils, Tertian, the acolyte and temple guard, none of them had wounds like this, and none had this venom in their system.
Hunt just blinked at her. Bryce's voice cracked.
What if something else came through? What if the Crystallos was summoned to look for the horn? But something worse was also there that night. If you had the power to summon the Crystallos, why not summon multiple types of demons?
Hunt considered.
I can't think of a demon that demolishes its victims like that, though. Unless it's another ancient horror straight from the pit.
He rubbed his neck.
If the Crystallos killed this dryad, Killed these people whose bodies washed into the river through the sewers? Then why summon two kinds of demons? The Crystallos is already lethal as hell. Literally.
Bryce threw up her hands. I have no idea. But if everything we know about Danica's death is wrong, then we need to figure out how she died. We need someone who can weigh in.
He rubbed his jaw. Any ideas?
She nodded slowly,
dread curling in her gut.
Promise me you won't go ballistic.
Chapter 51.
Summoning a demon is a bad fucking idea,
Hunt breathed, as night fell beyond the apartment's shut curtains.
Especially considering that's what started this mess in the first place.
They stood in her great room, lights dimmed and candles flickering around them, Searing spundled in blankets and locked in his crate in Bryce's bedroom, surrounded by a protective circle of white salt. What lay around and before them on the pale floors, reeking of mold and rotten earth, was the opposite of that.
Bryce had ground the block of obsidian salt down at some point, presumably using her fucking food processor. For something she'd dropped 10 grand on, Bryce didn't treat it with any particular reverence. She'd chucked it into a kitchen cabinet as if it were a bag of chips. He hadn't realized she'd only been biding her time until she needed it. Now, she'd crafted two circles with the obsidian salt. The one near the windows was perhaps 5 feet in diameter. The other was big enough to hold herself and Hunt. Bryce said,
I'm not going to waste my time snooping around town for answers about what kind of demon killed Danica. Going right to the source will save me a headache.
Going right to the source will get you splattered on a wall, and if not, arrested for summoning a demon into a residential zone.
Shit. He should arrest her, shouldn't he?
No one likes a narc, Athalar.
I am a narc.
A dark red eyebrow arched. Could have fooled me, Shadow of Death.
She joined him in the salt circle. Her long ponytail pooled in the collar of her leather jacket, the candlelight gilding the red strands. His fingers twitched, as if they'd reach for that silken length of hair, run it between them, wrap it around his fist and draw her head back, exposing that neck of hers again to his mouth, his tongue, teeth.
Hunt growled, You do know that it is my job to stop these demons from entering this world.
We're not setting the demon loose, she hissed back. This is as safe as a phone call.
Are you going to summon it with its unholy number, then?
Many demons had numbers associated with them, like some sort of ancient email address.
No, I don't need it.
I know how to find this demon. He started to answer, but she cut him off.
The obsidian salt will hold it.
Hunt eyed the circles she'd made, then sighed. Fine. Even though arguing with her was nearly as enticing as foreplay, he didn't feel like wasting time either. But then the temperature in the room began to drop. Rapidly. And as Hunt's breath began to cloud the air, as a humanoid male appeared, thrumming with dark power that made his stomach roil. Bryce grinned up at Hunt as his heart stopped dead.
Surprise!
She'd lost her fucking mind. He would kill her for this, if they weren't both killed in the next few seconds.
Who is that?
Ice formed in the room. No clothing could protect against the cold this demon brought with him. It pierced through every layer, snatching the breath from Hunt's chest with clawed fingers. A shuddering inhale was the only sign of Bryce's discomfort, as she remained facing the circle on the other side of the room. The male now contained inside its dark border.
Adas, she said softly.
Hunt had always imagined the Prince of the Chasm as similar to the lower-level demons he'd hunted over the centuries. Scales or fangs or claws. Brute muscle and snarling with blind animal rage. Not this slender, pale-skinned, pretty boy. Adas's blonde hair fell to his shoulders in soft waves,
loose yet well cut around his fine-boned face, undoubtedly to show off the eyes like blue opals, framed by thick golden lashes. Those lashes bobbed once in a cursory blink. Then his full, sensuous mouth parted in a smile, to reveal a row of two white teeth.
Bryce Quinlan.
Hunt's hand drifted to his gun. The Prince of the Chasm knew her name, her face, and the way he'd spoken her name was as much greeting as it was question, his voice velvet soft. Aedas occupied the fifth level of hell, the chasm. He yielded only to two others, the Prince of the Abyss and the Prince of the Pit, the seventh and mightiest of the demon princes. The Star Eater himself, whose name was never uttered on this side of the Northern Rift. No one would dare say his name, not after the Prince of the Pit became the first and only being to ever kill an Asteri. His butchering of the seventh holy star, Sirius, the Wolf Star, during the First Wars remained a favorite ballad around war campfires. And what he'd done to Sirius after slaying her had earned him that awful title, Star Eater.
You appeared as a cat the last time, was all Bryce said.
All she said. Hunt dared take his eyes off the Prince of the Chasm to find Bryce bowing her head. Aedas slid his slender hands into the pockets of his closely tailored jacket and pants, the material blacker than the chasm in which he resided.
You were very young then.
Hunt had to plant his feet to keep from swaying. She'd met the prince before? How? His shock must have been written on his face, because she shot him a look that he could only interpret as calm the fuck down, but said,
I was 13. Not that young.
Hunt reined in his grunt that would have suggested otherwise. Aedas tilted his head to one side.
You were very sad then as well.
It took Hunt a moment to process it. The words, the bit of history, and the bit of now. Bryce rubbed her hands together.
Let's talk about you, Your Highness.
I am always happy to do so.
The cold burned Hunt's lungs. They could only last minutes at this temperature before their healing abilities started churning. And despite Bryce's fey blood, there was a good chance that she might not recover at all. Without having made the drop, the frostbite would be permanent for Bryce, as would any digits or limbs lost. She said to the demon prince,
You and your colleagues seem to be getting restless in the dark.
Is that so?
Aedas frowned at his polished leather shoes, as if he could see all the way down to the pit.
Perhaps you summoned the wrong prince, for this is the first I've heard of it.
Who is summoning the Crystallos demon to hunt through this city? Flat, cutting words. And what killed Danica Fendir?
Ah, yes. We heard of that. How Danica screamed as she was shredded apart.
Bryce's beat of silence told Hunt enough about the internal wound that Aedas had pressed. From the smile gracing Aedas's face, the Prince of the Chasm knew it as well. She went on.
Do you know what demon did it?
Despite what your mythologies claim, I am not privy to the movements of every being in hell.
She said tightly. Do you know, though? Or know who summoned it? His golden lashes shimmered as he blinked.
You believe I dispatched it?
You would not be standing there if I did.
Aedas laughed softly.
No tears from you this time.
Bryce smiled slightly.
You told me not to let them see me cry. I took the advice to heart.
What the hell had gone on during that meeting 12 years ago?
Information is not free.
What is your price?
A bluish tint crept over her lips. They'd have to cut the connection soon. Hunt kept perfectly still as Aedas studied her. Then his eyes registered Hunt. He blinked, once, as if he had not really marked his presence until this moment, as if he hadn't cared to notice, with Bryce before him. Hunt tucked away that fact, just as Adis murmured,
"Who are you?"
A command. "He's eye candy," Bryce said, looping her arm through Hunt's and pressing close. For warmth or steadiness, he didn't know. She was shaking. "And he is not for sale." She pointed to the halo across Hunt's brow.
"My pets like to rip out feathers. It would be a good trade."
Hunt leveled a stare at the prince. Bryce threw Hunt a sidelong glare, the effect of which was negated by her chattering teeth. Ada smiled, looking him over again.
"A fallen warrior with the power of..."
Adis's groomed brows lifted in surprise. His blue opal eyes narrowed to slits, then simmered like the hottest flame.
"What are you doing with a black crown around your brow?"
Hunt didn't dare let his surprise at the question show. He'd never heard it called that before. A black crown. Halo, witch ink, mark of shame. But never that. Adis looked between them now, carefully. He didn't bother to let Hunt answer his question before that awful smile returned.
"The seven princes dwell in darkness and do not stir. We have no interest in your realm."
"I'd believe it if you and your brethren hadn't been rattling the Northern Rift for the past 2 decades,
Hunt said.
"And if I hadn't been cleaning up after it."
Ada sucked in a breath, as if tasting the air on which Hunt's words had been delivered to him.
"You do realize that it might not be my people. The Northern Rift opens to other places. Other realms, yes. But other planets as well. What is hell but a distant planet bound to yours by a ripple in space and time?"
"Hell is a planet."
Hunt's brows lowered. Most of the demons he'd killed and dealt with hadn't been able to or inclined to speak. Ada shrugged with one shoulder.
"It is as real a place as Midgard, though most of us would have you believe it wasn't."
The prince pointed to him.
"Your kind, fallen, were made in Midgard by the Asteri. But the Fae, the Shifters, and many others came from their own worlds. The universe is massive. Some believe it has no end. Or that our universe might be one in a multitude, as bountiful as the stars in the sky, or the sand on a beach."
Bryce threw Hunt a look that told him she too was wondering what the hell the demon prince was smoking in the chasm. "You're trying to distract us," Bryce said, arms crossing. Hoarfrost crept across the floors. "You're not rattling the Northern Rift?"
"The lesser princes do that. Levels 1 through 4.
Ada said, head angling again.
"Those of us in the true dark have no need or interest in sunshine. But even they did not send the Crystallos. Our plans do not involve such things."
Hunt growled.
"Your kind wanted to live here once upon a time. Why would that change?"
Adis chuckled.
"It is dreadfully amusing to hear the stories the Asteri have spun for you."
He smiled at Bryce.
"What blinds an oracle?"
All color leached from Bryce's face at the mention of her visit to the oracle. How Adis knew about it, Hunt could only guess, but she countered.
"What sort of cat visits an oracle?"
"Winning first words."
Ada slid his hands into his pockets again.
"I did not know what you might prefer now that you are grown."
A smirk at Hunt.
But I may appear more like that, if it pleases you, Bryce Quinlan.
Better yet, don't appear again at all, Hunt said to the demon prince.
Bryce squeezed his arm. He stepped on her foot hard enough to get her to cut it out, but Adis chuckled. Your temperature drops. I shall depart.
Please, Bryce said. Just tell me if you know what killed Danica. Please.
A soft laugh. Run the tests again. Find what is in between.
He began to fade, as if a phone call were indeed breaking up.
Adis,
she blurted, stepping right to the edge of their circle. Hunt found the urge to tuck her to his side, especially as darkness frayed the edges of Adis's body.
Thank you for that day.
The Prince of the Chasm paused, as if clinging to this world.
Make the drop, Bryce Quinlan.
He flickered.
And find me when you are done.
Adis had nearly vanished into nothing when he added, the words a ghost slithering through the room.
The Oracle did not see, but I did.
Silence pulsed in his wake as the room thawed, frost vanishing. Hunt whirled on Bryce.
First of all, he seethed, fuck you for that surprise.
She rubbed her hands together, working warmth back into them.
You never would have let me summon Adis if I'd told you first.
Because we should be fucking dead right now. He gaped at her. Are you insane?
I knew he wouldn't hurt me, or anyone with me.
You want to tell me how you met Adis when you were 13?
I told you how badly things ended between me and my biological father after my Oracle visit.
His anger banked at the lingering pain in her face.
So afterward, when I was crying my little heart out on one of the park benches outside the temple, this white cat appeared next to me. It had the most unnatural blue eyes. I knew even before it spoke that it wasn't a cat, and wasn't a shifter.
Who summoned him that time?
I don't know. Jessica told me that the princes can sneak through cracks in either rift, taking the form of common animals. But then they're confined to those forms, with none of their own power save the ability to speak. And they can only stay for a few hours at a time.
A shudder worked its way down his gray wings.
What did Adis say?
He asked me, what blinds an oracle? And I replied, what sort of cat visits an oracle? He'd heard the screaming on his way in. I suppose it intrigued him. He told me to stop crying, said it would only satisfy those who had wronged me, that I shouldn't give them the gift of my sorrow.
Why was the Prince of the Chasm at the Oracle?
He never told me. But he sat with me until I worked up the nerve to walk back to my father's house. By the time I remembered to thank him, he was gone.
Strange.
And fine, he could understand why she hadn't balked from summoning him, if he'd been kind to her in the past. Perhaps some of